Welcome here to Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora on superpoweredpop.com as well as superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile and Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora in the iTunes free podcasts as well as on the RSS feed. You can pick all of these up by going to superpoweredpop.com's homepage. That is superpowered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, pop.com. Make sure you check everything out there as well as get a connection to our Facebook feed, our Twitter feed, and so much more. As well as you can write in topics that you'd like for me to talk about on the show every single week, and the show broadcasts every Friday at noon Eastern time right here on superpoweredpop.com as well as on iTunes, Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora on the RSS feed of the same name and on superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile. So make sure that you check it out every Friday at noon Eastern time. On today's broadcast, we are discussing It versus It. We're discussing It, basically, literally. We're discussing it. But it's It 1990 versus It 2017. Look at 27 years. And how funny is that? How amazing is that? Every 27 years, it comes back. And 27 years after the 1990 release, it came back in 2017. Very, very cool. Very interesting way of doing it. And Stephen King, he's a freak. And all, he's a freak, he's crazy, but he is smart. And as much as he creates things that make us sit here and go, what in the heck? How does his brain come up with this? He scares us. He's been scaring us for decades. He is amazing at what he does. In the books that he has, in the movies that are made, in the scripts that are written, this man has done an amazing job at being one of the best, if not the best, horror person of all time. I mean, you look at Alfred Hitchcock and some of the things that Alfred Hitchcock did, and you have to put Stephen King up there as one of the greatest of all time when it comes to, you know, you not wanting to look under your bed or in the closet or go to your basement or go to the attic or open up a small chest that has a doll in it. Any of this stuff. I'm literally wanting to throw up just now when I was talking about the chest in the attic. Chest in the attic? No, thank you. So, Stephen King, one of the best, and you probably argue that he could be the best horror person of all time. And we are here today in this episode of Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora to discuss It versus It. It of 1990 versus It of 2017. Well, as a child, I had a fear of clowns. I forgot that I did. My mom reminded me at 31 years old that I did right before I went to go see the new It that just came out. To which I said, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. So, appreciate it. I could do plays on words throughout this entire show, and I probably will. So, yeah, yes. You like popcorn? Popcorn, candy and cotton candy and popcorn and carnivals and get in the train. You know, I mean, it's crazy. That opening scene of the 2017 It Man, I mean, there's a moment where it is likable. There's a moment where it, Pennywise the clown, where he becomes somewhat, you know, he just kind of looks like, I mean, he's menacing and disgusting, but he looks like he could be a friend or somebody that, you know, you could just laugh with, where he's just like, hey, you know, he's talking to Georgie and he's like, oh, Georgie, I love cotton candy, cotton candy and popcorn. And then he's just like, and his eyes just change. And if you've ever had an ex in your life, which I'm sure you have, an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, I have had some Pennywises in my past. And during an argument with them when they're screaming at me on the sidewalk, if Pennywise had driven up at that point, I may have gotten in the car with Pennywise as opposed to standing on that street corner with that ex-girlfriend of mine. So, and if you've ever seen anybody, that's the funny thing about it. When Pennywise went from, get in the train, when he changed that quickly, I was like, oh, been there, experienced that, don't want to go back there again. She didn't bite my arm off, but pretty close, relatively close. So we're here today to talk about It of 1990 versus It of 2017. And I saw the new one before I saw the old one. However, I saw a scene of the old one going into the new one. We saw the new one on a Sunday, my wife and I, and on Saturday night, I think AMC was playing it, we were watching it, and there was that part with John Ritter, John Ritter's character in the 1990 movie It. John Ritter was Ben Hanscom in this one, and there's that moment where Ben is with Beverly Marsh, who's played by Annette O'Toole, and he's kissing her. You know, they finally realize that, you know, she realizes that, you know, he's the January embers, my heart burns there too, and they start to kiss, and then all of a sudden, he looks at the mirror, and he has clown makeup on his face, and then all of a sudden, Beverly is wearing those like balloon pants, those big pants that clowns wear. He leans back and it's not Beverly, it's Pennywise, and he has lipstick on his mouth, and he looks at Ben, John Ritter's character, and he goes, "Kiss me, fat boy." And I was just like, that to me was a scene that made me laugh. It made me laugh. It helped me relax. It helped me be like, okay, I can go see this movie tomorrow. And it's like, kiss me, fat boy. So I was running around the house doing that to my wife randomly for the rest of the night. And I found that there's a t-shirt you can buy that has that on there. And I was like, you know, moments like that, because when I go see a scary movie, which is extremely rare, I look for something to make me laugh. Arachnophobia, there was nothing. Blood Beach, there was nothing. If most of you don't know what Blood Beach is, it's because I think I was in a Goosebumps movie where I rented Blood Beach, but it's a movie that actually never existed because it wasn't rated. It wasn't in their system. It was in the wrong place alphabetically, and it was behind Arachnophobia, and it just wasn't. I honestly think it was a movie that was put there by, like, the Seventh Circle of Hell. I don't think it was a real movie. I don't know anybody else that's seen it besides me and my friend that watched it together when we were 10 years old. So, Blood Beach, Arachnophobia, The Grudge, no positives. Nothing to like watch and be like, oh, that was funny. But in the first version of It, I got to give it up to Tim Curry because he made me laugh a little bit as Pennywise. And that helped me to deal with the movie a little bit better. And then I see the new one, and then I went back and watched the old one, and I said I want to do a show on my overall analysis of both. And after seeing the new one, I didn't know the new one was split into two chapters. So if you get the DVD, you have to flip it over. It took me about 10 tries to realize which was the first chapter and which was the second, because they both start with them as adults. So in order for me to figure out where I was starting the movie at, I put it into the DVD player, hit play, took it out, flipped it over, took it out, flipped it over, took it out, flipped it over, took it out like 7 times before I was like, oh, this is the beginning of the movie. So that was interesting in and of itself, because it doesn't say it's side 1 or 2, and both sides start with chapter 1, or start with scene 1 all the way through to like scene 20, whatever. So didn't make it easy for this guy. But I eventually got it right, and I watched the movie, and I got to be honest with you. With It Chapters 1 and 2 back in 1990, and it was considered 2 episodes, I wasn't overly impressed by the scariness of it. You know, when you see the new one versus the old one, in the old one, you don't see anybody get eaten. You just hear that the bodies are mutilated. You know, there's that one scene in chapter 2 of It from 1990 where one of the characters gets eaten, so to speak. And when you see the character get eaten, I think it was Dennis Christopher's character, Eddie Gasbrack. So I think it might have been his, or I may be wrong here. So, but it was one of the kids. Yeah, it was Eddie. It was Eddie Gasbrick, I think. And when he gets eaten, and we see him get eaten, you go back and you look at it, and you're just like, well, his stomach got eaten, so to speak, right? Because when we realize what it actually is, and it's a giant spider and whatnot, it starts to, you know, it grabs him, and he's screaming, and it looks like the stomach is toward the mouth of it, and he's screaming, And he sounds like he's getting eaten, and then he gets thrown on the ground, and there's no blood on him. There's nothing on his shirt. His shirt isn't ripped open. There's no intestines out. And then he just, like, lays there and dies, and you're like, so how did he die? Like, what made him die? It made no sense to me how he just died. It made absolutely no sense to me. I was like, oh, he's dead now. That's interesting. So that was something that legitimately made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, because, you know, you didn't get to see it. And then with the little girl in the beginning, and it's not that you want to see bodies mutilated. It's that, you know, it takes the scariness out of it when they say, like, the little girl was unrecognizable, and you're like, okay, well, we didn't see anything. And you don't ever see anybody's body. You don't see anybody get attacked. You don't see anything happen. You just see the clown. You see Pennywise coming toward you. And, I mean, I guess that was one of the creepy parts, where the girl's on her tricycle and Pennywise says hi to her, and he's waving in between the clothes that are hanging on the line, and she sees him, and the clothes come back together, and then he's closer, and then he opens his mouth, and you see his teeth, and she screams, and that's the end of it. But and how the mother didn't hear her child scream and then just casually came out to check on the clothes and is like, oh, where's my daughter? Like, how did you not hear the blood-curdling scream of your daughter when she was getting attacked and mangled by Pennywise? And then you just casually come outside after, like, making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and being like, oh, where's my daughter at? You know, I wouldn't be going inside my house if my child was playing outside and I wasn't out there. I would not be going inside the house. They would be coming inside with me, especially nowadays. So, I mean, I know back in the 90s, you know, I was little. In 1990, I was 5 years old. My mom and dad would open the door and be like, go play outside. Be careful. Don't talk to strangers. You know what I mean? So it wasn't one of those things where, you know, there was this, like, over concern like there is now, where you're like, oh, there could be a terrorist bomber walking down the street. Maybe don't stay outside and play basketball. And we need to get back to a world where people feel safe being outside and enjoying themselves outside, because I miss those days. And I hope to have children one day and those children to be able to enjoy what I got to enjoy as a kid, which is when your parents just told you to go the heck outside and play for like 5 hours. So with that being said, you know, obviously the movie is made to the times, and there just wasn't a lot of gruesomeness to the 1990 movie. And I think that that helped it become more watchable for somebody like me, who is not a big fan of watching scary movies. So, you know, that made it a little bit more doable. The clown was actually a lot funnier in Stephen King's It of 1990. And Tim Curry, that made it easy for me too, because Tim Curry is the guy that works at the hotel in Home Alone 2. He's the guy that, I love you. You know, he's that guy that's, it's in there, is like, I saw you, you know, I saw you smooching everybody, Cliff. And then Cliff is like, I swear. And he's like, tell us we love you. He's like, I love you. He's like, mean it. I love you. You know, he's that guy that gets slapped in the face by Kevin's mom in Home Alone, and then he's Pennywise. I mean, I look at him in a different light now, and I'm like, damn, that guy can be scary. But he also helped me to kind of, you know, relax a little bit in this. But he was a lot funnier, you know? The guy that has the stutter, you know, when he's talking to him and he's trying to, you know, come after him, you know, the character that's played, Bill DeBrow, who's played by Jonathan Brandis, and when he's older by Richard Thomas, you know, where he's like, a butt, a butt, a butt, a butt, and he punches his mouth and he goes, a billy, you know, there's moments like that, or when they're trying to talk to this was one of the funniest parts of the movie, in my opinion, when they're trying to speak with the librarian, and the one guy's trying to talk to the librarian, and every time he says something, Pennywise interrupts him, and nobody else can see Pennywise. So he's like, hey, do you have, and Pennywise's like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that to get out of here? Oh, you're all gonna die. You're all gonna, and he's like, and it's one of those things, like a little kid, where you go to talk, and they're like, what's that? What? You know, so it's one of those. I mean, it was a funny scene where every time the guy opened his mouth, he was like, huh? What? Huh? What? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. A what? So I thought, to me, I found that comical. And I did. I thought that he was a lot more comical. I thought Pennywise was funny in the first one. You know, when Tim Reed is trying to address the librarian who plays Mike Hanlon, when he's trying to address the librarian and he keeps interrupting him. And I'm like, that's so rude. And it's so funny. It was so funny, you know? And that's what I thought with the first movie. It was really funny, right? There was funny moments in the 1990 version. And then at the end, you know, in chapter two, you know, you see the webs everywhere. And then you realize that it's this giant spider, right? So you've seen this giant spider and you're like, oh my goodness, here it is. And it's weird. It's like an alien spider. It looks like it's a beetle because it's got those like clampers on its mouth. And then it has arms like a human, but kind of an alien. And then it's got a spider's body and it lifts up its belly and you just look at this white light. But the thing that I don't understand is these pieces of silver. You know, silver is supposed to, it defeats, you know, what is it? The silver bullet defeats the werewolf or whatever. But you have these silver rocks, so to speak, that you use with a slingshot. This thing has been killing children every 27 years. It's killing people. It's killing children. It killed all the settlers that came in to Derry. I mean, it has caused all these accidents. It's piled up all these bodies. It's fed itself for God knows how many years since the institution of Derry as a town. And you're going to kill it by hitting it in the head with a piece of silver. It makes no sense to me. So, you know, that to me, I was like, that's a little far-fetched and a little bit cheesy. And, you know, I guess it's the whole, you know, a child can defeat anything, you know, and the childlike ability. And when we become adults, we believe that we can't do it or we believe we're incapable of doing it or something like that. You know, we just don't have the imagination and the belief in ourselves. I mean, basically, you had to show Pennywise you weren't afraid, which had to show this spider thing, this spider being, that you're not afraid. So when it comes down to that, you know, I understand that. If you're not afraid, and Pennywise says it in the original two chapters of 1990, he said, you know, he's like, you all are going to taste so good. You're going to taste so good. I can't wait to eat you, but you taste better when you're scared. He said that. He was like, you know, he's like, kids taste better when they're afraid. People taste better when they're afraid. So that was something that I found interesting, was when he said that, you know, people taste better when they're afraid. It was all fear. He can still eat you. He could still attack you, but he enjoys it more when you're afraid. Then this thing about the light is in the belly of this beast, you know, in the belly of the beast, I guess. And, you know, so they're trying to hit it in the head and they miss, and they hit one part of the head and they hit the other part of the head. And then they have to go get the other piece of silver and they shoot it into the belly. And it just goes right through the belly because the belly somehow has this light in it, but it's just a rib cage. And how can it eat anything and enjoy it if everything falls out of the stomach? And somehow this silver passes through the stomach, like the stomach is just like air, and it goes through the stomach and it shuts off the light and it affects the beast. And the beast can't go on after this. You know, and of course, you know, back in 1990, graphics were different. So you have to look at a sign of the times. You know, were people making giant spiders with alien arms and whatnot in these movies back then? No. You know, Stephen King, for what he had at the time, is what he was making. I will still say that the one movie that withstands the test of time when it comes to how scary it is with the technology that they had at the time was Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, the original, by far, still holds up today with everything that they had back then. I mean, when I look at Jurassic Park, which came out in 1993, just 3 years after Stephen King's It, Jurassic Park in 1993, still in 2017, holds up with scaring me, you know, with just being friggin' I shouldn't say scared, but just being like terrifying, just, you know, making you jump, making you unsettled, making that chill go up the back of your neck. So, you know, Stephen King did what he could back in 1990, and I think they did a good job, but I thought Pennywise was a little more comical. I thought Pennywise, you know, not showing anybody die made things a lot easier to watch. The spider, you could tell, was on that, like, delay where it almost looks like the video is kind of waiting to load a little bit. So, I mean, we look at it today as far as looking at it back then. The first Alien movie, my parents said they ran out of the theater, and they said it was terrifying. You look back at it now, the alien's head, when it comes through the stomach, can only turn two ways because it was like a puppet. You can only turn it left or right. And then when the alien's chasing you, I said it almost looks like there's an alien costume that they put on one of those, you know, like the IV things that hold you that are on wheels. I said it's almost like they put it on that and pushed it down a hospital hallway. And then if you listen closely to it, you could hear like, like the wheels, the as they're pushing it down the thing. You can almost hear the squeaky wheel moving down there. So, I mean, you know, for the times, it was good. For clowns, it was freaky. It was gross. It was unsettling. There's obviously kids that die in the movie. There's people that die in the movie. There's somebody who kills themselves in the movie because they don't want to deal with the clowns. So that was creepy and unsettling. But overall, you know, the movie, to me, was a nice appetizer and a, more of a happy dance right before the friggin' dance with the devil of the second movie that I thought was very, you know, unnerving. I thought it was a very creepy, sadistic, different take on Stephen King's It. Extremely dark. I mean, the smile of Pennywise was just absolutely... Bill Skarsgård, I gotta give it up to you. He looks terrifying. Him as a human being, he has a high forehead like Pennywise, and his eyes look like Pennywise's eyes, and his face, without any of the makeup on, if he looked at me, okay, like if I'm on a date with Bill Skarsgård, right, and I'm on the other side of Bill Skarsgård, and he looked at me the way that he looks in some of these pictures, I would legitimately think that he was going to cut me up into little tiny pieces, put me in a blender, and eat me for the next 5 to 7 days. As a milkshake. He's very terrifying. I mean, they obviously found the most perfect person to play Pennywise this time around because he is absolutely terrifying. I want to give it up to Jaden Leidenbehrer, who played Bill Dubrow in the 2017 rendition that just came out. Jeremy Ray Taylor, who played Ben Hanscom, Beverly Marsh by Sophia Lillis, as well as Finn Wolfhard, who played Richie Tozier, Chosen Jacobs, who played Mike Hanlon, Jack Dylan Grazier, who played Eddie Kasprak, as well as Wyatt Olaf, who played Stanley Uris, Bill Skarsgård, who I just mentioned, who played Pennywise, Henry Bowers, who is the jerk of the movie, played by Nicholas Hamilton, and he's supposed to be the jerk of the movie, played it well, Jack Sim, who played Belch Huggins, Logan Thompson, who played Victor Chris, Owen Teague, who played Patrick Hochstetter, Georgie by Jackson Robert Scott, literally one of the cutest kids in the world out there. Very, very sad what happens to him in this thing. Stephen Bogart, who played Mr. Marsh, played a great job at a role that is, you know, a very sad role to play. Stuart Hughes, who played Officer Bowers, you know, the father of Henry Bowers, who's, you know, the town bully. I mean, everybody in the full cast, the crew, everybody did a great job in this movie. This movie was a heck of a lot scarier, in my opinion, than the 1990 version of Stephen King's It. This one definitely took the cake, in my opinion, as far as how scary it was, how unsettling it was. I mean, that opening, and the thing is, they show so much more now. Horror in today's world wants to show you a body mutilated. It wants to show you somebody getting eaten. I mean, for goodness sakes, they show little Georgie, they show him with his nub. They show him without half of his arm after Pennywise bites it off. I mean, we see this kid crawling like he's on the battlefield of World War II with half of an arm crawling on the ground like he's crawling in the trenches trying to escape from this clown. I mean, it's very, very unsettling. I thought the house that Pennywise lives in, I thought that was awesome. It was so cool. It was like right out of like a CG movie. It makes me think of the movie 9. It makes me think of, you know, what you would expect a Halloween house to look like. The crazy thing about it is if I saw that house on the end of a street, I would want to go in. because I am curious when it comes to that stuff. And my wife would be like, yeah, no, let's go ahead and pump the brakes and not go into that house. But I thought the house was, it was great. I mean, it was that token house that is on the end of the road that you're like, how is it still standing? Who the heck ever lived there? Did it ever look not menacing? And yeah, I'm never going in there for the rest of my life. I mean, like, you would think that if anything was a being from another planet or a new species of something gross or a giant spider or anything like that, it would be living in the house that's in the 2017 version of it. You know, this movie really did take the cake as far as being scary. I love the fact that, and spoiler alert, if you don't know what happens, you know, then please, you know, earmuffs yourself to this thing. But when Pennywise is hit in the head and his head cracks open, we see this blood start to come out and it floats. And when we see Pennywise, he jumps into the well and he's holding onto the edge of the well. And then you hear him go, uh-huh, like that. And he gets pulled down a little bit and you see the eyes and the slight ability of seeing the shape of something far greater that is pulling Pennywise into the ground or into this well. And that's what I think is this giant spider, which I believe will be much more massive and scarier and disgusting and ruthless than it was in the 1990 version. They did a great job. I mean, obviously, like I said, you are at the mercy of your technology at the time. And in 2017, technology is so rapid. I mean, there's something that you might not be able to figure out how to do today that you'll be able to figure out how to do tomorrow by noon. And that's just how technology has gone. With that being said, it makes movies like Annabelle, which I will never see, you know, it makes movies like that so much more intense and gross, and it just makes them feel, I mean, it plays on they could show you whatever they want to show you. You know, in the past where they're like, okay, well, we can't go inside of this, so we have to go around it, or we have to show it to you like this, or this scene, we're going to have to green screen this or do that. Now, even if you have to green screen something, you're CGI-ing something, you're putting something in there, it's so much more realistic nowadays. And this movie, I think Chapter 2 is going to be even more terrifying than Chapter 1, but Chapter 1 was phenomenal. It made over $100 million in opening weekend. That was by Sunday morning before, you know, Sunday was counted or anything. Then we were talking about Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. This movie did swimmingly well, and I don't even like looking at Pennywise's face. His head seems to get bigger as time goes on, which made me feel like a billion spiders were just going to, like, fall out of the head or something like that. The movie was done so very well, and it was extremely scary. I feel like Stephen King's definitely got to be happy with this movie. I thought that the actors were great. Georgie was one of the saddest things, if not the saddest thing I've ever seen when it comes to a kid in a movie. It was very, 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 very sad. It was, you know, gut-wrenching, and that's how the movie opens up. You know, obviously, they retell the story that they told in 1990, so there's a lot of that. You know, the names are the same, so you know who Beverly is, and you know who Ben is, and you know who Bill is, and you know who Mike is. So you start to see them all develop themselves. But, you know, as I said before, horror has taken a turn over the last 27 years, and it gets more and more in depth. And one of the things that's, you know, is more in depth this time around was showing how Beverly Marsh's father is obviously abusive. And, you know, with my wife working with, you know, children that have been abused and whatnot, you know, this hit home in a big way for my wife and for me, and was really, really sad. You know, when you see the dad where he's like, I worry about you, and I worry about, you know, I worry about what's going on, and are you still my little girl, and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it really is one of those scenes that just makes you, it makes you very uneasy, because you know she's getting abused by her father, which, you know, they kind of show you, but they don't show you as, like, physical abuse. And there's a point where he grabs her and he, like, pushes her legs open, and then thank God something happens. And, you know, and so that's, you know, that's one of those scenes where it really creeps you out. But, you know, going to your basement and playing on your base, you know, basements and attics and all the places you didn't want to go as a kid, it's so much more in-depth in this one. Where Georgie runs to the basement in 1990, you don't really see anything. When Georgie goes to the basement in 2017, you know that there's something down there. You know that there's something looking at him, trying to talk with him. And I thought another part that was different from 1990 to 2017 is, you know, you're obviously not saying the N-word. And in 1990, Mike Hanlon's character gets called the N-word repeatedly by the town bully. And in this one, you don't hear it. And it's definitely a sign of the times. I mean, it's never a word that should have ever been used. It's not something that should have ever been said by anybody in the history of anything, by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, you could kind of see in 2017 that it's not something that they wanted people to be able to, you know, to hear. You kind of get it. I mean, you get it. He said, you know, boy, you're not welcome in these parts. I mean, everything he's saying without saying the N-word is everything that you expect to be the words that rope around the N-word. So you get the feel for the fact that this town doesn't have a lot of African-American people and is not welcoming, or at least some people are not. You know, the dad, obviously, of the bully beats his son, which, you know, is affecting his son. So his son's attacking other people. But, you know, his son's like cutting people. I mean, you look at what he does to Ben, and he's trying to write his name in Ben's stomach, and he gets the H there, and that's, you know, that's just absolutely disgusting. And, you know, Ben gets cut open a couple times, but this clown to me is a lot harder to kill. There's a lot more of a fight going on, and he looks a lot more powerful than he did in 1990. This one definitely took a turn for the more menacing. And, you know, when you think of Stephen King and you think of horror, you're like, well, Stephen King is, he's absolutely terrifying. How could anything be worse than what Stephen King came up with in 1990? And I give kudos and a lot of credit to the 2017 group directed by, you know, Andy Muschietti, who did a phenomenal, phenomenal job in this movie. And the writers, Chase Palmer and Cary Fukunaga, who did an amazing job with the screenplay. Everybody that worked on this movie, it's so scary and so intense. Yet, for me who doesn't like scary movies, I wanted to go see it. And I want to go see it again. And I was like, there's something wrong with me that I want to see it. Literally, again and again and again and again. Because I thought it was done so very well. I mean, I don't know how Bill Skarsgård's personal life is when he looks that menacing and terrifying as a normal human being. But hopefully when he smiles, it doesn't always look like Pennywise. But he did a great job with Pennywise. And, you know, the thing that I love about this is I thought we were going to see it all. I thought we were going to see them from children to adults in this movie. And the great spoiler alert is that the movie says it in the beginning, and then when the movie ends, it immediately cuts to black, and then it says it, chapter one. And you're like, oh my God, that's like an awesome spoiler alert. Like, it, chapter one, which means chapter two is coming our way. And I thought that that's so cool that we're going to see them 27 years later as adults. And I think it's great, and it's so Stephen King to have this movie, this remake, come out 27 years after to make you believe in reality the fantasy world of Pennywise being real and this menacing villain be real. You know, Stephen King is all about making you feel unsettled in your daily life, not just when you watch the movie. So this movie couldn't just come out. It had to come out 27 years since 1990, and I thought that that was a really, really interesting thing. I mean, I thought, like I said, I thought the house was beautiful. I thought, you know, the fight that they have with Pennywise. I thought seeing all the people floating was a very interesting scene. And I want to dig deeper into why do they float and what is the whole point of floating and why is this something that, you know, this villainous being wants. But you look at all the things that they have done over the years and all the people that they have eaten and killed and eaten and attacked. You go into Pennywise's place, and it is this giant tower. It's like DuckTales when you look at all the coins, but in a bad way. It is this massive tower. It almost looks like the Grinch, when he steals all the toys and whatnot, it, in his lair, there is this tower that is just, it's like bicycles and shirts and hats and toys and all these things that these kids had. And you look at this massive tower that, like, you feel like if you push it, that, you know, the thing's going to fall over because there's so many things stacked up on one another. You're thinking, you know, what is this, like 5,000 children and people? I mean, you look at what this creature has been doing for so long and you're like, oh my gosh, and nobody has stood up to it. Nobody, or maybe they have, but they failed. So, you know, I thought just aesthetically pleasing, theatrically, it was beautiful. A CGI, how far it comes has come, is beautiful. I think that the scenes with the clown were great. The blood coming out of the sink was insane when it's all over Beverly. I thought that the kids did a great job. I thought the whole feeling of Stranger Things and having one of the kids from Stranger Things actually be in the movie, I thought that was so cool that they had that, that they actually had a character, you know, from Stranger Things to be in this, and Finn Wolfhard, who is obviously Will in Stranger Things, and in this one, he is, you know, Richie Tozier. So I thought that was really, really cool that we're seeing. Or I'm sorry, he's Mike Wheeler in Stranger Things. So, which is really kind of cool because in Central New York, the OCC women's basketball head coach is Mike Wheeler, spelled the exact same way. So Mike Wheeler in Stranger Things, and he is obviously he is Richie Tozier in 2017, and he brings that comic relief that you don't get from the clown in this one. So I thought Richie did a great job, and I thought that was really cool. The Stranger Things feel to it made it a little bit easier for me because Stranger Things makes me uneasy, but the kids make me kind of, you know, handle it a little bit better. So having Finn jump from Stranger Things to it made perfect sense, and it doesn't take away from believing that he's Mike Wheeler in Stranger Things with, you know, with season two and moving forward from there. So, you know, all in all, I thought that both movies were interesting. I thought the idea back in 1990 was interesting, but I thought that 2017 takes the cake as far as what it looked like, what it felt like, to the extent that we know that this villain has been around and what it's done in such a long time. That opening scene with Georgie, which is absolutely positively disgusting, and yet it sets you up to know just how menacing Pennywise is and how quickly, how Pennywise can't really control, you know, I mean, Pennywise wants to make you laugh and wants to make you have fun. And then it's almost like this thing inside its head is like, get down to business. You know, you're laughing, you're joking around, but don't get off track. You're supposed to eat this kid, you know, so don't focus. It's time to go down. And it's so crazy and it's confusing. You know, even watching the 1990 version of, so what is Pennywise and how is Pennywise, you know, is Pennywise real or is Pennywise just a figment of our imagination that this spider can project to us? But then again, Pennywise can reach us however he wants to. And he can be anywhere at any time. So it's like he's invisible, but he can hurt you. And he's like a right arm of this thing because he can eat you. And when he leans his head back and his mouth opens and you see that like Venus flytrap spider, that's in the 2017 version, that's so gross. I mean, it's just dirty teeth in 1990, but in 2017, when he opens his mouth, I mean, you are just floored by it. And when he bites the arm of Georgie, I mean, you see him clamp down, and that's, I mean, it's such a crazy, it just puts you on a thrill ride and you feel like you're on this ride at Universal that you can't help but want to go on, but you question why the heck you got on it. So kudos to 1990 and 2017. 2017 is my favorite of the two. I definitely think you should go see it and take it for somebody like me who is not a fan of horror movies. I gave it a shot. My wife and I did something we had never done together in 5 years, and that's go see a scary movie. And I don't regret it by any stretch of the imagination. I had a lot of fun. I feel like I faced a fear, and I would definitely recommend you going out and seeing it. So make sure you check it out, and make sure you're always checking out every Friday at noon a new episode of Super Powered Pop with Dan Tortora on iTunes, on our RSS feed as well. iTunes, Super Powered Pop with Dan Tortora. Search the free podcasts. You can go to superpoweredpop.pot.podbean.com/mobile. That's superpoweredpop.com. superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile and download the free app, which is exclusively just the Superpowered Pop shows. And of course, go to superpoweredpop.com. You can read our articles, watch videos, as well as listen back to all of our shows and all of our special engagement shows with actors, as well as writers and artists and so on and so forth, as we continue to grow at Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora. And you can link up with us 24/7 on Facebook at Superpowered Pop and on Twitter at Superpowered Pop. In the meantime, have a great day, enjoy yourselves, and kiss me, fat boy. Talk to you all soon.